Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message on the lost. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 11, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." The word "lost" in Strong's is number 622. It comes from other words which means to destroy fully, or perish, or lose, literally or figuratively, to mar or to perish. Many see Christianity as just another religion. This view of Christianity appeals to those who still want to be lord of their own lives and make decisions. They have been infected with the devil's lies and see God in human terms. They do not see Christianity as a means to do the will of God by giving up their own will. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost." Verse 4. "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Very rarely or with any conviction is the Lordship of Jesus Christ presented as the only solution for sin in the church today." C.S. Lewis said, "A world of nice people content in their own niceness, looking no further, turned away from God, will be just as desperately in need of salvation as a miserable world, and might even be more difficult to save." Arthur W. Pink wrote, "The nature of Christ's salvation is woefully misrepresented by the present-day evangelist. He announces a savior from hell rather than a savior from sin. And that is why so many are fatally deceived. For there are multitudes who wish to escape the lake of fire and have no desire to be delivered from their carnality and worldliness." Leonard Ravenhill said, "We don't preach salvation, we preach forgiveness." Salvation without lordship has been passed on from one generation to another, but is not a remedy for sin. The Jews did not appreciate God taking them into the wilderness and serpents biting them after they complained against God. Jesus referred to this incident in the Old Testament in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, and reading verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It is those who look to the Son of Man on the cross who will be saved from the God of this world." Jesus was a properly operating human being, overcoming sin, through communication with God and the Father, directing him, having no will of his own. Only those who believe in their hearts that Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave by asking God will get on the narrow way. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. A false prophet will get you to believe that Jesus did not really come in the flesh, that he did not have to hear God in every detail, endure hardness like a good soldier in a human body, just like us, and suffer for righteousness' sake. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Timothy had to grow up fast because the corruption had already crept into the church in the first century. Jesus also said in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and reading verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Those trying to use their minds to understand spiritual things without conviction and correction will end up being frustrated, ignorant, and self-deceived. They develop man-made doctrines instead so that they can serve the lust of their own flesh. They will also end up in the fire if they cannot produce the right fruit. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 25, and I'm reading to verse 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 25. And at the time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, O Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and him to whom ever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Only those on the narrow way, yoked to the will of God for their lives, with Jesus as their teacher will find rest for their soul. The Bible is full of truth. So when something is not right, the Holy Spirit will convict you that you are still using your own mind trying to follow Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 32 and 33. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Verse 33. Whosoever therefore shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. God does not have two standards. Lot's wife perished because she looked back. She was still holding on to the things of the world, seeking worldly comforts and material possessions. John said in 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verses 4 to 6. This is 1 John chapter 4, and I'm starting in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The kingdom of God is available to all those who are born again, not serving mammon. The moment you start serving your own needs through the flesh, you have rejected the kingdom of God. Those seeking material gain and possessions do not listen to truth, and those like John the Apostle, living on the narrow way. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, this is Galatians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Verse 2. This is only what I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? This is an article from Christianity Today. After his conversion, Charles Finney, the American evangelist, prepared for ministry in the Presbyterian Church and was ordained in 1824. Hired by the Female Missionary Society of the Western District, he began his missionary labors in the frontier communities of Upper New York. A rigid Calvinism dominated the theological landscape, but Finney urged his listeners to accept Christ openly and publicly. His style differed too. His messages were more like a lawyer's argument than a pastor's sermon. At Evans Mills, he was troubled that the congregations continuously said they were pleased with his sermons. He set about to make his messages less pleasing and more productive. At the end of his sermon, which stressed the need for conversion, he took a bold step. You who have made up your minds to become Christians and will give your pledge to make your peace with God immediately should rise up. The entire congregation, having never heard such a challenge, remained in their seats. You have taken your stand, Finney said. You have rejected Christ and his gospel. The congregation was dismissed and many left angry. Using your mind to make decisions is rejecting God's grace and the gift of eternal life that includes the ability to hear and obey God in every detail. You are just like those people getting angry with Charles Finney in New York who would not stand up. They were not resisting man, but God, putting themselves back in the clutches of the devil. In the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition, in the introduction on pages 4 and 5, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when Satan prevents you from walking through the straight gate and on the narrow way, you're already on a way to spiritual destruction. If he can separate you from fellowship with the Lord because you follow the broad way, he is succeeding in stealing spiritual life from you. If you can be imprisoned by lust of the flesh or addictions, Satan will use those methods. If you will not yield to that type of imprisonment and are determined to walk with God, Satan will seduce you with ways that seem to be right. You may have no intention of being deceived. You do not yield to the lust of the flesh, nor are you consciously rebellious. Yet you know you're not growing spiritually as you should. You may be confused and frustrated because you seem to obey the rules, but your daily life proves you are not spiritual. Paul said you can begin in the spirit but still end up serving sin in the flesh. Do not blame anyone else for personal sin. Those who listen to lies do so because something appealed to the lust of their own flesh. The devil will even tempt you to keep the law and tell you that you can still do what you want in the meantime and be a hypocrite. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 5. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Even before the law, Enoch managed to please God. Enoch was relying on the grace and mercy of God in order to learn from his mistakes and not to just say he was sorry and keep making excuses for sin. We read in Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is Genesis chapter 5. I'm reading verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch had over 300 years to learn from his mistakes. Today, we have the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. If you come off the narrow way, you need to repent and get back on it as soon as possible. Make no excuses based on your personal needs not being met first. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 25 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It is easy to see through the false teaching of an antichrist if you're living in the kingdom of God with childlike faith. Those who have an opinion about anything will easily be deceived. You should not be drawn away from a simple obedience to the Holy Spirit with reasoned arguments of any kind. Your response on the narrow way is always, let me ask God and see what he says, using the spirit of truth. This appears foolish to those who are still perishing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Those abiding in Christ without an opinion can ask God and get an answer regarding any issue. If not immediately, they can at least test what they hear with the Holy Spirit and know if it's truth or not. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Those on the narrow way, working out their salvation in fear and trembling, are focused on hearing and obeying God consistently. John also said in 1 John 2 and verse 17, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. False prophets will give you an option to serve God and money, and proclaim prosperity based on hearing God occasionally. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Church people often seek out a prophet proclaiming blessings and prosperity because they were never really following Christ to start with. They are still lost. They may have accepted him as Savior and Lord at the start because they were humbled by their circumstances, but he's not Lord of their lives now. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm reading verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. In his autobiography, Charles Finney recorded seeking God for salvation. The thought was pressing me of the rashness of my promise that I would give my heart to God that day or die in the attempt. It seemed to me as if that was binding upon my soul, and yet I was going to break my vow. A great sinking and discouragement came over me, and I felt almost too weak to stand upon my knees. Just at this moment, I again thought I heard someone approach me, and I opened my eyes to see whether it were so. But right there, the revelation of my pride of heart as the great difficulty that stood in the way was distinctly shown to me. An overwhelming sense of my wickedness in being ashamed to have a human being see me on my knees before God took such powerful possession of me that I cried at the top of my voice and exclaimed I would not leave that place if all the men on earth and all the devils in hell surrounded me. What, I said, Such a degraded sinner I am, on my knees, confessing my sin, so that the great and holy God, and ashamed to have any human being and a sinner like myself, find me on my knees and endeavouring to make my peace with my offended God. The sin appeared awful, infinite. It broke me down before the Lord. Just at that point, this passage of Scripture seemed to drop into my mind with a flood of light. Then shall you go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Then you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. I instantly seized hold of this with my heart. I had intellectually believed the Bible before, but never had the truth been in my mind that faith was a voluntary trust instead of an intellectual state. I was as conscious as I was of my existence of trusting at that moment in God's veracity. Somehow I knew that that was a passage of Scripture, though I did not think I had ever read it. I knew it was God's word and God's voice, as it were, that spoke to me. I cried to him, Lord, I take thee at thy word. Now thou knowest that thou I do search for thee with all my heart, and that I have come to thee to pray to thee, and thou hast promised to hear me. The scripture that was coming to the mind of Charles Finney is found here in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. The evangelist Charles Finney described his salvation experience like this. And he knew he was lost and had to respond to God knocking on the door of his heart. He continued, that seemed to settle the question that I could then, that day, perform my vow. The Spirit seemed to lay stress upon that idea in the text, when you search for me with all your heart. The question of when, that is of the present time, seemed to fall heavily into my heart. I told the Lord that I should take him at his word, that he could not lie, and that therefore I was sure that he heard my prayer and that he would be found of me. He then gave me many other promises, both from the Old and the New Testament, especially some most precious promises respecting our Lord Jesus Christ. I never can in words make any human being understand how precious and true those promises appeared to me. I took them one after the other as infallible truth, the assertions of God, who could not lie. They did not seem so much as to fall into my intellect as into my heart, to be put within the grasp of the voluntary powers of my mind. I seized hold of them and appropriated them and fastened upon them with the grasp of a drowning man. Charles Finney was on his knees seeking God in the forest, looking for a religious experience to keep his vow, but still perishing. Even when seeking God, he still felt like he was drowning spiritually through not seeking God with all his heart. You may even feel lost and about to perish, even though you are born again, if you're not seeking God with all your heart. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 15, this is John's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the Amplified Bible, John 3:15 says, in order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him, trusts him and relies on him may not perish, but have eternal life and actually live forever. Eternal life is not just living forever. Eternal life is a gift that you can know God personally. Through the gift of eternal life, you can do his perfect will and not sin again. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. Eternal life is the means to make Jesus your Lord personally and live without the consequences of sin. Eternal life is given to those who, number one, cleave by getting married to Christ, leaving behind their old life with its agendas, desires, dreams, and passions. Number two, trust him by letting him be Lord of their lives in everything and in every detail. Three, rely on the Holy Spirit to put the right thoughts in their mind, direct and convict, and lead them so that they can be busy in the kingdom forever, like a little child, by grace through faith. Everyone has an eternal spirit that was cut off from God by man using his fallen nature. Through the forgiveness of sin and Jesus' death on the cross, that connection can be restored now so you can seek God with all your heart and not ever use the fallen nature again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus did not come to judge and condemn, but came to save those who realize they are still perishing and see Jesus as their only hope for salvation by making him Lord. Jesus continued in John chapter 3, verses 18 to 21, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Light is truth and revelation. Those not perishing are living in the light. They know Jesus came to save all those who have a heart after God, not hiding from conviction. They believe conviction is a blessing. Jesus did not come to condemn anyone, but without coming into the light of his word daily, no one will be ready for the final judgment, changed by his grace and mercy. Sin is serious. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 8 to 10. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 8. Whosoever therefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire. Verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus was sent to those who had already reaped the consequences of sin and were ready to repent. even the least person responding to conviction is in touch with God through angels in heaven and must not be hindered from seeking the truth and coming to repentance. Jesus continued in Matthew 18, verses 12 to 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 12. Now think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? Verse 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which had not gone astray. Verse 14. Even so, it's not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. The Father in heaven made every effort, sending his only begotten Son to die on the cross to save the lost. Jesus was lifted up and crucified for the sins of the whole world. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to prove to the Jews that the kingdom of heaven is near, and they needed to repent. Those who responded in conviction and repented were saved, and those who could not perished. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8. Heal the sick, and cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Verse 10. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Verse 12. And when you come into an house, salute it. Verse 13. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. His disciples were told only to go to the lost sheep of Israel, not to the religious leaders. His disciples were to reach out to those on the streets of the city with a heart after God. Some were suffering, backslidden, homeless, and even controlled by demons, but they were ready to repent. The disciples were not told to go to those who were comfortable and religious. Jesus gave a parable for those who were religious, adjusting the word of God to suit their sinful lifestyles. Jesus said in Luke 16, verses 17 to 31, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm starting in verse 17. And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one title of the law to fail. Verse 18. Whosoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores. Verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would not come from there. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 29. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Verse 30. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Verse 31. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rising from the dead. Through the law comes conviction, and those who do not like conviction of the Spirit will not be saved. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23, I'm reading to verse 29. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. The law was designed to bring some conviction, but the Holy Spirit in all those born again is there to make them fully aware of the perfect will of God in thought, purpose, and action. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Time is running out for all those who are comfortable now resisting conviction. You need to repent of using your mind to make decisions and get ready for the kingdom of God and justification by faith alone. This is what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 9. I'm reading verses 5 to 7. This is Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. The word pricks in Strong's is number 2759. It means to prick, a point, a center. That is a sting, figuratively, a poison, or a goad, a divine impulse, a prick or a sting. A goad is a traditional farming implement used to spur or guide livestock, usually oxen, which are pulling a plow or a cart. It is used also to round up cattle. is a type of long stick with a pointed end, also known as the cattle prod. The conviction from God can appear like nails or something stinging that cannot be moved. These stings might come from preachers. These pricks are like the sting in an invisible electric fence telling you that you're about to go away from righteousness. We read in Isaiah 26, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. I'm reading verse 1. And in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. A strong city where righteousness dwells has boundaries set by the Holy Spirit. However, those who want to do what they want will perish. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 8 to 14, I'm reading. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting in verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still sought the people knowledge. Yea, he gave them good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Verse 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, and of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon had all the resources he needed to do everything and could travel. But his own honest assessment was there was much weariness in worldly wisdom and temporal gain. At the end of his life, he realized the whole duty of man was to fear God and keep his commands. Will you listen to his advice? Solomon also said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. This is Proverbs chapter 1 and reading verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. All those with the knowledge of the law, without the fear of God and no fruit of repentance, are spiritually blind. We read in John chapter 9, verses 39 to 41, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm starting in verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I'm come into this world, and they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Verse 41. And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. Paul the apostle got extra grace because he was zealous for God's standards. But at the same time, he was resisting the knowledge through conviction, which was the reason why the law was given. Conviction of sin is good news that everyone's sin can be removed by repentance now with the help of the Holy Spirit. The law is designed to bring conviction, leading to salvation and repentance by grace through faith alone. The religious leaders were blind, trying to achieve righteousness some other way, and that is why their sin remained. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and reading verse 9. And think not to say within thyselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The 12 disciples went out preaching everywhere, proving the kingdom of heaven was coming imminently with signs and wonders, and their daily needs were met as well at the time. The disciples of Jesus were bombarding the devil's kingdom with a message of life, repentance, and holiness based on fresh grace for all to see. We read in John chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16, And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Verse 17, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The devil had established his kingdom through the Jews, resisting conviction and making excuses for sin. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 30, I'm reading to verse 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 30. And he spoke these words, many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. And they answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Real freedom is freedom from sin. The religious scribes confuse the people with doubts about the Messiah. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 14 to 29. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. Verse 15. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. Verse 16. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? Verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Verse 18, And wheresoever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Verse 19, He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Verse 20, And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming. Verse 21, And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Verse 22, And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23. And Jesus said, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believeth. Verse 24. And straightway the father and child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Verse 25, And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Verse 26, And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, He is dead. Verse 27, But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Verse 28, And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? Verse 29, And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The father of the demon-possessed child was convicted by what Jesus said and cried out for repentance when he realized his unbelief was hindering the salvation of his own son. Jesus could not do so many great miracles where there was a lot of unbelief. So he quickly cast the demons out of the boy before all the people came running to see what was happening after the man repented. Those disciples were sent to a faithless generation, including the scribes and Pharisees questioning the authority of Jesus. The people respected Jesus' authority because of the miracles. The success of the disciples was based on following Jesus' instructions exactly and listening to God for their own sake in the morning. Jesus taught on prayer. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 9. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The disciples were supposed to have daily food as a testimony to God's kingdom. However, they also needed to hear God and go without a meal now and again to hear how to avoid or overcome the unbelief that they would encounter. Jesus also had some others he appointed, whom he sent out in advance to the places where he was going to teach. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them out two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Verse 3. Go your ways, behold, and I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Verse 4. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Verse 5. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. Verse 6. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. Verse 7. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Verse 8. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Verse 9. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 10. But into whatever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways, and go into the streets of the same, and say, Verse 11. Even the very dust of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom that for that city. Verse 13. Woe unto Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if thy mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 14. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Verse 15. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. The 12 disciples had already reached some villages and towns, and miracles were performed there. This included Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin, so that when Jesus arrived, people would be ready to listen to his teachings and repent. Jesus, however, prepared another 70 workers, and through their obedience, at least 35 towns in the immediate area would have been prepared for Jesus' messages. They were told not to receive any help from those unwilling to accommodate them. The 70 came back with a testimony because they followed his instructions exactly. We read in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. All those following Jesus by the Spirit can also experience the kingdom of God now. For the sake of the mission, you should not be afraid of anything that might cause you harm. Nothing can hurt those who are truly following Christ, rejoicing in the fact that their names are written in heaven because they're following Jesus, not because they're just born again. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Even Nicodemus could not believe Jesus was the Messiah and called him a rabbi. The religious leaders were blinded by their private interpretation of the written word. They could only see Jesus stealing the hearts of those people that they were fleecing. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Those promoting a doctrine based on a single verse are deceiving themselves and others. The devil also used single verses of scripture out of context, tempting Jesus to sin. Jesus answered with verses that contradicted the devil's lies. You need to look up every verse in the Bible to make sure that what you are teaching does not contradict anything in the written word. Those who teach that you only need to be born again are deceiving those living in the flesh on the broad way, allowing them to perish. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things, put them into remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 17. And their word will eat as does cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. The purpose of any teaching or study is to come to truth by the Holy Spirit and benefit from the word through repentance and conviction. Anything else produces a cancerous teaching that is deadly. The fruit of any study should be more godliness and contentment in those born again by the Spirit. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Those who are fighting the good fight of faith are examples for the rest of the church on how to act in meekness, patience, and love, and not react. Those doing things based on common sense, reason or logic and money will lose their soul. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 12, I'm reading verses 16 to 21. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Verse 18. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. If you are comfortable in this life and avoid conviction and repentance, then you are hindering yourself and others from hearing the truth. By not repenting, you are an example of someone who has knowledge without change or transformation, living a lie in the church. Just being born again is not enough to overcome sin and the devil. It's only those who are led by the Spirit, doing the will of God, who do not fall into a snare or compromise on the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, this is John's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 6. "And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Verse 7. "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Verse 8. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." Those who are perishing cannot understand how someone who is not well educated in this world can have the wisdom of God and do the works of God so easily. We read in the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 6 to 13. This is Acts chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 6. "And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem." Verse 7. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" Verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Verse 9. "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." Verse 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Verse 11. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." The kingdom of God is here now, and you can have the same education by the Spirit. You have to humble yourself, enter before it's too late, and learn how to abide in his kingdom. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." To function in the kingdom of God, you need to become like a little child. The same spiritual system of learning is in all those disciples abiding in the kingdom now. You actually overcome by faith as you trust and obey God in everything. You experience his love and love him back too. God has always made a way of escape for those who trust him. If you want to always blame others or something else, you will end up deceiving yourself again. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall." Verse 13. "Therefore hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Thinking is dangerous. God's ways require that you remain humble, act and do not react to save yourselves. God's solution will require you to hear and obey before you understand with the mind. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse 9. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus did not always speak in parables, but his messages were for those with a heart after God, hungry for truth that would save them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You save yourselves by accepting the truth revealed through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Peter said to the educated Jews on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Only those asking God everything and communicating with him will be ready for his appearing and the kingdom of Christ when he will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. If you're still trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh and serve God, you will miss God's provision. You'll be tempted again to meet your personal needs or desires and eventually serve sin. You'll go back to the flesh if you are not living by faith on the narrow way. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm reading verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Your name is put in the book of life when you get on the narrow way by making Jesus Lord of your life. If you're not on the narrow way at his appearing, or when you die, your situation will be worse than before you were converted. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 12. This is Revelation, chapter 14, and reading verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Jesus is the one who should be directing your life now. If you love Jesus, you will seek his commands and have no time for anything else in your life. In these last days, you will have an abundance of love too, because there is extra grace for those busy hearing and doing the will of the Lord. James said in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. This is the book of James chapter 5. I'm reading verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, verse 20, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Those born again who do not believe you cannot still die are deceiving themselves. It's the type of fruit in your life in this world of sin that determines your final destination. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 21 to 23. This is the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus was sent to those with a heart after God who wanted to hear the truth. The Pharisees were jealous. Jesus came to help those who are ready to hear the truth about sin, hell, and the judgment. We read in Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Verse 3. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Verse 5. And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. Verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Verse 8. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. Verse 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. The kingdom of God is here now for those who are prepared to repent and lose everything, not having any righteousness of their own. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7, I'm reading to verse 9. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You should have been changed like Paul through the gospel. Everyone needs to examine themselves now to see if they be in the faith. Jesus continued in Luke 15, verses 11. I'm reading all the way to verse 32. This is Luke 15, starting in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Verse 26, and he called one of the servants and said, what these things mean? Verse 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and the father has killed the fatted calf, because thou hast received him safe and sound. Verse 28. And he was angry, and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. Verse 29. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither have I transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Verse 32, and it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. There were two sons in this parable, and both were not using the grace correctly, and needed to enter the kingdom of God. The prodigal son, who wasted his inheritance on earthly pleasures and reckless living, is the main character. He came to his senses and experienced the grace of God that's available even for the chief of sinners. However, the second son also did not enjoy the kingdom of God, even though he was living and working religiously in his father's household. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Never use the natural mind trying to understand the things of God, but rely on conviction instead. The Old Testament scriptures were there to lead the Jews to Christ, but they did not recognize him when he came. Those willing to examine themselves now, look at the bad fruit in their own lives under pressure and repent, have a chance to be ready for his appearing. Humble yourselves, repent and seek God with all your heart, and you will get all the help you need following Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his own disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Religious leaders living in darkness today do not submit to the witness of the Spirit. In Bible school, men's doctrines are taught as truth and not tested with the Spirit. Even opposing doctrines based on the written word are taught in many Bible schools. People are told to decide themselves what the truth is using their own minds. False church leaders are all modern Pharisees with a confidence in the flesh. Those following Jesus rely on the words of Jesus, recorded in the Bible, coming back to their own minds at the right time by the grace of God through the gift of eternal life and the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Mark 13, verses 10 and 11, this is Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 10, "And the Gospel must first be published among all nations," verse 11, "but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it's not ye that speaks, but the Holy Ghost." The academic, systematic study of the Word of God is contrary to a spiritual education based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Many Bible institutions in this world have a friendship with the world and get government funding because they are using the same worldly system of learning as the world. They present no threat to the God of this world. Have you come off the narrow way? You may have had a relationship with God or even been born again in a Christian home, but have backslidden and taken matters into your own hands. Do not blame anyone else for a poor example of following Christ. You have believed lies only because you thought life would be better with you making all the decisions. You accepted Jesus as an insurance policy against hell only. You never really saw yourself as a drowning man, deceiving yourself and convinced that the only solution is to make Jesus the functional Lord of your life. God is giving you the power to live now by becoming a servant through his kingdom. You do not have to be selfish anymore to get or do what you want and then reap corruption. The kingdom of God is here by the Holy Spirit. Now you can sow into something perfect and pure instead. You have an invitation to do the things that God directs, and you will now reap eternal life through a life of obedience to the Holy Spirit. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Christ, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom from sin through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message for those who are lost. And you may have started on the narrow way in the beginning. You may have totally opened your heart to God. And you made Jesus not just your Savior, but actually Lord of your life. But right now, I want you to be honest and look at the fruit in your life. The fruit tells the story. It doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter how much they mistreat you, make your life difficult. You have the Holy Spirit, and more grace is available for those who are on the narrow way. We were called to be a people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And you have that invitation now. Don't turn it down. We have a little time left before Jesus will come again. And those who are faithful up to the end, using and relying and trusting on the Holy Spirit, will be ready for his appearing. All those who are using their minds, making decisions about this pandemic and the things that are happening on this earth right now, are fools. But those who cling to, rely on, and trust him and ask the Holy Spirit what to do will be saved. This is a very important time for everyone. I don't want you to be lost. I want you to be ready for his appearing. Let me pray. Father in heaven, there are people who've listened to this message. And Father, you have challenged them by your Spirit, that they really have not established you as their Lord and Savior. They have accepted a false gospel, a cheap gospel. And it's not because they didn't understand, it's because they wanted to believe a lie. And I pray that through this message, they will be convicted of the fact that they chose to believe the lies, because they didn't want to accept the truth, and that they're still afraid of the truth, and they listen to the devil. Father, show them where Satan got access so that they can set themselves free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for listening. This message is for those with a heart after God. Please get in touch with us. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, or either written out via a link on our website. Our contact details will also follow at the end of this message. God bless you and have a great day.